voices. Unedited, uncut, unfiltered, unflappable. Bringing you glory to the green. Representing one nation. Mean Green Nation. It's time for the Mean Green Nation podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, yet another bad day in UNT land, in Mean Green Nation. Well, we got rocked. That was our first, that was our worst loss in the Dan McCartney era, 46 points. The previous one was 41 to Alabama when we got destroyed 41-0. What were your immediate reactions? Because I think I tweeted out mine, like, what the hell? That was awful. The defense got gashed. The, you know, the offense was okay running the ball. And I want to say watching the game, I thought our quarterback, our much maligned quarterback, made some nice, he did some nice things out there. But then I looked at the stat sheet and I was like, wow, you know, was it 137 yards? So that's not any kind of good. So what were your thoughts?
My initial reaction was there was some type of conspiracy theory that Dan McCartney was trying to make Iowa football look better than it actually is. So he just told his team to lay down. But then I didn't want to put that out there. So, you know, I didn't want to have everybody pissed off at me.
Yeah.
And then I was like, just kind of like you. I was surprised at how well we were able to run the ball against them.
Yeah.
Which I think it bodes well down the road. You know, Jeffrey Wilson, he played good. You know, it was good to have him back, and he looked explosive out there. Jimerson had a couple nice carries.
Mm-hmm.
McNulty, he looked solid at times. You know, it was his typical bus driver. I'm not going to make the mistake to beat us. But then in the second half, he had the strip sack fumble, and then he had the interception for a touchdown. And I know he's 14 to 36, but he had at least 7 or 8 drop passes out there, and he threw a couple passes away. So, I mean, his completion percentage isn't really reflective of where he put the ball sometimes. So, I mean, playing on the road in Iowa, it's a tough place to play. And, you know, McNulty, obviously he's got to play better than he did, but we know that he's probably not capable. There's going to be inconsistencies there. We know he's an inconsistent quarterback. He'll look really good 1 week, and then he'll struggle the next week. And it was a road game, and so we knew he was probably going to struggle.
Yeah, I think when you look at his career stats, he's something like a 54% completion percentage kind of quarterback. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like I think I did the initial React post, you know, when I was full of whiskey and beer and a little bit of anger and frustration. Well, I mean, so what the thing is, you played against a good team. A good team that can play some defense, you know, it's not going to be as easy to complete passes as it is against, you know, lesser teams. And so, you know, your completion percentage is going to drop. And so, you know, where this is under 50% here, it's like 39.9%. So there you go. You know, like you're going to drop maybe, you know, 5-10 percentage points on a game against you because you're going to run around, try to get the ball, throw the ball out of bounds, or people are going to make drops, or, you know, the defense is going to be tighter. So that's to be expected. Yeah, I agree. He didn't play really poorly. What's up?
I mean, if you add in those 6 drop passes, he had at least 4 in the first half. And he had some more in the second half. That would have brought his completion percentage up to 55%, where he normally is anyways.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. It's like, so my problem really isn't that, you know, it was 14 to 36 today. It's that he's a 55%, you know, passer total.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And again, he took some shots down the field, but we really didn't get anything completed down the field.
Yeah,
I you know, Jeffrey Wilson short arm the one that could have been a big play early to spark some momentum, but the other throws that he threw to Carlos Harris, and again, I know, you know, Carlos Harris is a really good wide receiver, but throwing the ball down the field to a 5'8 guy, unless he has separation, it's just not a wise thing to do. So yeah. I don't know why we continue to do that.
Yeah, he did attempt to pass in the end zone to Thaddeus Thompson. Was that a freshman kid? Well, he's not a freshman. He's just he's a JUCO transfer, right?
Yeah. Well, he just threw it. You know, Thompson would have needed a rocket up his ass to catch that one.
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying. It's like that was a bad throw. That was not a good throw. The other one, it was a bad throw to Carlos Harris. I think he's trying to go back shoulder. He had his hands on the ball. You're the all conference. You know, the receiver award. Watch list receiver. Yeah, there you go. You're on that watch list. You got to make that catch, right? That's a catch you got to make. Yeah. I mean, like I said, the offense wasn't bad. Like, everybody mostly looks at the offense. That's what you care about. That's what that's where most the eyes are. But the defense looked awful. Yeah. Iowa basically walked up down the field. I think their first run play was like something like a 35-yard run or something like that. And the holes were so wide. It was like, wow, this is like you're playing. We were talking about this, like playing NCAA, you know, on easy mode. That was just easy, just walking down the middle.
It was. And I knew our defensive line was really going to struggle against our offensive line. You're hoping to see a little bit more. We had a couple good series. It sucks to not have a guy like Blake Bean out there. Who's a leader. It sucks to not have Kenny Byers out there who's a leader. So, you know, I thought Anthony Wallace filled in relatively nicely for Blake Bean. He made some plays earlier in the game. He filled some holes, made some tackles. But the defensive line was just, you know, they were outmanned, out-physicaled, and out-schemed in that game against Iowa. It wasn't a good matchup coming off the Rice game.
No. Anthony Wallace had 8 total tackles, 5 assisted, and 3 solo. It's never good when your 2 leading tacklers are your safeties, James Gray and Keshawn McClain, 7 and 8 respectively. That means everybody's getting to the secondary or they're throwing the ball. And, you know, it very rarely means that the safeties are walking up and making big-time tackles.
Yeah, we made Bethard or Beathard, old Beathard. He beat us hard yesterday.
He
beat us hard. We made him look like a Heisman contender.
Yeah, 18 of 21, and I think I remember all 3 of those passes. Like one was like a drop. One I think he threw it away. You know what I mean? Like they were. Yeah. You can remember all 3 of his incomplete passes. He was 15 of 15 at one point, and he was tossing passes to guys that were wide open. Some of the problem was that, you know, we had some injuries. I think James Gray was out at the time when, was it Ashton Preston was on the field? He's a freshman kid.
Yeah, the tight end. They're just a blown assignment.
Yeah.
And freshmen are going to make that mistake. So it's nothing against his ability to defend a wide receiver. It's a, you know, a big-time atmosphere to come in and a tough team to play. And you're going to miss assignments when you're a freshman. It's just how – as a true freshman, but – on the interference call that he had in the end zone, I thought he made a decent play. It's tough to cover a guy like Tavion Smith in the end zone one-on-one like he was trying to do.
Yeah.
He did interfere with him, but he still – I thought he made a nice play.
Yeah. Yeah. He was there. So, he was competing. That's kind of what you want. So outside of those 1 or 2 nice things that players in the defense did – the D-line and the linebacking corps, they got shredded. What I'm concerned with, I mean, this is embarrassing for a lot of reasons. You know, we kind of wanted more of the Southern Miss against Nebraska. Because we like to say, everybody likes to say, oh, moral victories don't mean a thing around here. We're playing for actual W's. We don't want this pat on the back and say, oh, you did a good job. But yes, we do. The thing is, yes. We lost to Georgia in 2013. 42-21. And you just look at the score line, you're like, what? Why are you guys so proud of that? Well, because we were in a game against our nationally ranked team, a respected program, and we gave them a game. You know? We gave them hell. We came out here against Iowa, and it was like 21-3 at the end of one. and we didn't look like we'd be in the game. That's the difference there. You want to have a program that you feel proud of and respected. And then McCartney talked about this. He was saying this, you know, when he got here, like, you know, I want North Texas. It's been a laughing stock. I mean, well, 4 years later, and you bought all the groceries and you hired all the cooks and, you know, you run the kitchen now. And I didn't see anybody that was too proud of what was happening in North Texas football yesterday.
No, fans expect a better product on the field, and they're not getting it right now. They're not. They're upset with, you know, what they, you know, the quarterback situation. I don't think they're really upset with McNulty. They're just upset with, you know, the fact that they consider him to be the best option to play. They just don't seem to believe that fact, that it's a fact that McNulty is our best option. They're like, there's just no way. You know, they're in the disbelief portion. And then, you know, when you think of a Dan McCartney coach team, and we talked about it yesterday, you think they're well coached, well prepared. That's what this guy is all about. And we're going to go to places, big places, and we're going to compete, and we're going to make our university look good, and we're going to represent. And people are going to talk about us after, you know, the game on Saturday, saying, you know, hey, man, that team played really hard, and they gave Iowa all they wanted. And that wasn't the case. And it hasn't been the case for a while.
Yeah. And, I mean, you know, that's the thing. I totally agree on the McNulty thing. I mean, I get tired of having the same conversation all the time. I mean, as much as I'd like to see the future, and that's kind of – that's my frustration now, is that I'd like to see a competitive, entertaining product out there. And the run game is fun. It's fun watching Jeffrey Wilson get the ball – Antoine Jimerson get the ball, Willie Ivory get the ball. It's less fun watching McNulty drop back because, you know, like I said, 50% completion rate, and also he's turnover prone. I mean, that's scary. It's not really that fun. You know, if he was, I could take all those turnovers if he was throwing like 4 or 5 touchdown passes, even 2 or 3 touchdown passes a game. You know, because it means something different. So I'd like to see DeMarcus Smith out there just because he has talent, apparently has a rocket arm. I've heard the receivers say that, I mean, he makes everybody else on our roster look like high school kids. And so I want to see that. I mean, that's what we got the dude in here for, right? And
yeah,
we're saying all this stuff, but that's not going to turn around everything. We're not just missing a quarterback here.
No, he's not the savior. And, you know, the narrative on McNulty has always been that, you know, he's a coach's player. He's a student of the game. You know, he's got to win with his head and all that. And I give McNulty credit for being a competitor. He takes a ton of shots. He goes out there. He tries hard, man. He does what he can do. He doesn't give you any less or he doesn't, you know, I mean, he's not out there just trying to look bad. The dude, he plays hard. I mean, he competes. But the narrative about him being a smart quarterback on the field, that's not really true. I mean, a lot of his throws are, he predetermines them before, you know, the ball is snapped. And that's why you'll see the interception that you saw yesterday, the pick six, because he knew in his mind where he was going with the ball instead of reading the defense. And when he tries to go through his progressions, you know, the offensive line struggles with their blocks, and then we end up with a sack. So, again, I'm not knocking him, but I just think that the narrative that the coaches put out there on McNulty is building him up to be something bigger than he really is. He may be the greatest student of the game off the field, but when the bullets are flying, it's a different story.
Yeah. We saw all three quarterbacks, even though DeMarcus Smith just hitting the ball off. He got a little scramble, and then he tried to throw it, and it wasn't the greatest throw. And that was it. I mean, that was all we saw of him. We saw Greer go out there, throw something like 6 passes, one of which went for a touchdown to the other team. Yeah, he was like 2 of 6, one interception. And so there you go. I mean, that's it. Carlos Harris threw a touchdown. Carlos Harris really is our best player. Out here catching touchdowns, throwing touchdowns. I mean, well, Carlos Harris, watch. He had five catches. We said if he averages five the rest of the way, he'll tie Johnny Quinn for second all time. So, yeah.
Again, only 43 yards receiving.
Yeah, 17 long. I don't see the drops on here. We'd probably have to go back and tally those up, like individually or our own selves. But, I mean, I don't know. You mentioned four drops. Do you remember who those were?
I don't know off the top of my head. I know Gorey had the one drop. That was a third down play, a big play right early in the game where he got hammered. Mm-hmm. Wilson had the drop. That would have been a touchdown pass. Mm-hmm. Harris had a drop later in the game. That would have been a touchdown pass. I'm trying to think who else had some drops. There was at least four in the first half, and there was more in the second half.
I remember those ones that you mentioned. Harris and Gorey probably get more scrutiny for their drops than does Wilson, because Wilson's a receiver. Was it Wilson? It wasn't Wilson. It was Jeffrey Wilson.
Yeah, the running back. It doesn't matter. I mean, if you're running wheel routes with the running back and he's getting that open down the field, catch the damn ball. Yeah, you got to catch. I mean, if you know that. You know who your quarterback is. You've got to help him. You've got to help him out. Catch the damn ball. I don't care. Just catch it.
Yeah. All right. Last thing on McNulty, because like I said, it's an overworn topic. He's good when you know the play is not breaking down. When it's 1, 2, 3, step throw, done. Right. He can get the ball out. He can get there with some velocity. Some players can make a catch. And sometimes he's even great when he can step up and run around the pocket. He got like 15 yards from the end zone. That was nice. That was very nice. That was awesome. Yeah. He's not good running and throwing the ball. Like when he has to get out in the move and make a throw that is like not scripted, that's where he struggles. And I think, you know, everybody talks about his arm strength. I don't know. Can probably throw it harder than I can. But, I mean, the thing is that thing where he's moving to the right or left and has to make a play. I think there was that one, he nearly threw an interception when he had a guy in the corner of the end zone and he was rolling right.
Oh, yeah. He had Marcus Smith, and if he had more arm strength, it would have been a touchdown. Mm-hmm.
But. And like we're saying, I mean, when we don't have like one thing to hang our hat on, say we're going to score 20 points on offense, just run the ball and throwing dink and dunk routes, and the defense is going to shut everybody down. If we can do that, I mean, yeah, we could take the guy that just threw the ball out of bounds. I think Michigan kind of had a similar kind of show. Something like 18 to 24, 170 yards, something like that would be great. But we don't really have that. We have this, you know, spread up tempo, get the ball to playmakers kind of thing. And so if things are going to break down sometimes, when they do, we need a guy that can make a play. You know, that's the situation we're in. And that's why it's a little bit more frustrating. But, again, that's it for that. The offense wasn't the problem against Iowa. It was the defense, which is even more a condemnation of the coaching staff, because Dan McCartney is a defensive line coach, and he's had 4 years to get, a beastly defensive line that can stop the run and do some things, you know. It's looking more and more like 2013 was an aberration. A shooting star. It was the blood moon that's going to happen tonight, Sunday night. Then it was a regular thing, you know?
Yeah. And one last thing about the offense. We ran 88 plays yesterday.
Hey. That's also because we were getting the ball because they were scoring touchdowns all the time.
Doesn't matter. We ran 88 plays. That may be like a record in the McCartney era here at North Texas.
Yeah. 4.1 yards per rush. That was good.
Yeah, Iowa's one of the best rush defenses in the country, so it doesn't matter. I mean, I don't care, you know, what you have to say. We ran the ball pretty well, and I think next week against Southern Miss, we'll be able to run the ball against them. But their offense, their passing game of Nick Mullins. And I know Southern Miss only had 11 yards rushing against Nebraska, but my bold prediction is they'll have 200 yards rushing against us. Hmm. For sure.
It's looking like that. SMU, they ran all over us, what the quarterback did late in the game. And I thought, you know, it sure looked like we were D'ing them up, and then we got tired late in the game. You know, that happens. If that happened every time, I'd be okay with that, sort of. Rice walked up and down the field against us in the second and third quarters. Iowa blew the barn doors open, and the entire team just walked through it. I'm a little concerned about what Southern Miss is going to do to us next week.
Yeah, Mullins played good against us last year, did he not? I think he had a really good game. He had, you know, he threw for 305 yards against us last year, two touchdowns. He had the two picks. I remember Laramie Lee had one in the end zone, but again, he played really well against us, and they were bad last year too. So he's only getting better as a quarterback, and his weapons around him have improved. And they gave Nebraska all they could handle yesterday. So, I mean, yeah, it. Again, we're going on the road, and we're supposed to be, you know, a well-prepared team. And I mean, under Dan McCartney, we struggle to win road games.
Yeah.
By the way, did you watch the Southern Miss game yesterday?
No, at all? No, I didn't watch any of that.
I was watching Nick Mullins, and it looked like he was wearing shorts out there. Like, his knee pads were, like, on his thighs, and I was like, what the hell are you doing? Like, I mean, I get, you know, people do, or kids do that now because, you know, they can run faster, so, you know, they wear their knee pads above their knees. But, like, his was, like, way hiked up there, and I was like, looks like he's wearing, like, bicycle shorts or something.
You sound like such an old man right now. Well, all these kids out here wearing these,
That's because I am an old man. I struggled to get out of bed this morning. And God damn it, I didn't have my coffee.
Yeah. yeah, I mean, all right, so let's address quickly in this last 8 to 10 minutes of this quick, short recap podcast that you can subscribe to on iTunes or on iTunes. You can go to meangreennation.com/live. You can see all the information there. There's lots of ways you can see it. If you have some hot sports opinions, it'd be email at maingreennation.com. We threw out the phone number. I think everybody was probably a little sober, I guess that's the thing. People were a little bit more upset after SMU. Or maybe they just resigned to the fact that, you know, this is the way things are going to be, and so they're not really, you know,
people just don't care anymore.
Couple things. One, you have a fire Dan McCartney group. You have another one that says fire the athletic director, and then you have another one that says start DeMarcus Smith, and then finally you have another one that says fans should be supportive and not say a negative thing ever. So what are your thoughts on each of those categories, beginning with Dan McCartney?
Okay. Yeah. Yes, it's time for him to step down, or for the athletic director, even though he won't, it's time to move in a different direction. The program is obviously slipping away. The fan support, they're not buying into what he's selling anymore. If they're not buying into what he's selling anymore, recruits aren't going to buy into what he's selling anymore. The offense is a huge issue. There's, you know, again, there's trust issues with the fans. Now the trust issues are going to start to pop up with the students. If the students don't come to the games, then you don't have a program. And so I think Dan McCartney did a great job, you know, with basically cleaning up the mess that Todd Dodge left and bringing in some Division I players. You know, I think we have a lot of good players, a lot of good talent on this team, but I think that his coaching style isn't conducive with what we need to be successful in today's football game. So I think it's time for him to move on.
Well said. All right. Athletic director.
The athletic director, I think, is the biggest joke in the university. I mean, again, it's what are we doing? What are we doing in our athletic department? I mean, the fans, you take away Beyond the Green, then your productions that you put out there are crap. Your websites are crap. Your marketing strategies, they're crap. The coaches that you hire, they're turning out to be, you know, crap. Everything that you do is just a shitty product, and you're just taking a paycheck for it. Maybe you get, you know, two or three big donors, and that's what you can hang your hat on. But again, our athletic department, if we want to get to a tier one university like the president wants, we have to be more progressive in our ideas. We have to do better. And it just seems like, you know, 2013 was the high point, and now everybody's like on a pass, and they're just taking their time off. They we're not building off of 2013. So our athletic department, our athletic director, he's failing in multiple ways, and he thinks it's okay. And it's not okay. It's not okay with the fan base. So he needs to go too.
Okay, so now we kind of covered the Marcus Smith Andrew McNulty thing, but I'll just say, I guess, just give me in one sentence, who should start next week against Southern Miss?
Look, I want to see DeMarcus Smith because I want to see if he's good or not. But again, I'm not going to – the coaches are going to start McNulty, so I don't think it matters. I don't think it matters what I say. But again, I want to see
– it doesn't matter what we say on the show. Yeah. But, yeah.
yes, I want to see DeMarcus Smith. I want to see if the rumblings that we've heard from different sources out there that this kid is actually the best quarterback on the team – and that he's just being, you know, because he missed spring, he can't play. You know, they choose not to play him. So I just want to see him play. I want to see something different. We've seen McNulty. We've seen what he can do. We've seen Greer. We've seen what he can do. I mean, at what point do you say, okay, it's time to see DeMarcus Smith? And maybe if they lose next week to Southern Miss and, you know, the season looks lost, then that's when they turn to DeMarcus Smith and prepare for next year. I mean, if we get to the point where we've lost, you know, five games already and, you know, we lose, let's say we lose to Southern Miss, we beat Portland State, you know, by, you know, 2 points.
Skin of our teeth.
And then we come into the next week, who's that against? It's Western Kentucky. And then we lose big to Western Kentucky. So we're one, what would that put us, 1-5?
Yeah.
Yeah, so it puts us 1-5, and basically no chance at a bowl game, really. At that point, if they continue to start Andrew McNulty, that means that they really have no idea what they're doing, and that they're choosing to run the program into the ground. Because at that point, you got to start preparing for next year. You got to start playing the freshmen that, you know, you didn't redshirt, and all the young guys. You got to start doing that. And if they wouldn't do that at that point, I would pull the plug. So, yes, in long or short answer, I want to see DeMarcus Smith.
Yeah, I totally agree on that. All right, now the final column topic, fan support. What is the role of a fan? Should we be, you know, shut our mouth and say, good job, guys, we'll get him next time? You know, you tried real hard, pat him on the back. You know,
I mean,
you guys
lift weights
real hard. So, you know.
I get the players, they're upset. They're hearing their names be criticized. They're hearing their friends criticized, their coaches who are their mentors be criticized. And, you know, some fans, they don't say nice things out there. But look, if the outside noise is getting to you as a player, then there's bigger problems in the locker room and on the team than, you know, than you believe. Because, look, you're a kid, you're playing a game. Yes, you give up your bodies, you work 12 months out of the year, but those people that are being critical out there, you know, they work every single day too. You know, they face adversity. They've had hard lives. They give money to help support, you know, the program. They give money so that you have a scholarship and nice facilities to play in. So you don't really have a right to sit there and say, hey, don't say mean things about my friend. You know, this is life. This is real world stuff. So you need to take, you know, the bad stuff that's happening on the outside, not let it affect you in the way that we're seeing it, or, you know, turn it into a positive way where it makes you play harder, or, you know, you want to – ultimately, the fans that say critical things, they want to be proved wrong. They don't want to be critical their entire life. They want to – they want these guys to go out there and say – and show them they're the man. I mean, I want Andrew McNulty to go out there against Southern Miss, throw for 4 touchdown passes and look like Andrew Luck.
Yeah.
You know, that's what fans want to see. They want to see that. But they're not going to sit there and hold their mouths – when they see a team go on the road and wet the bed and look unprepared, you know, they're not going to do that. You know, again, real life adversity. You can say what you want to say, you know, as a player, that the fans, you should support us through thick and thin and all that crap. But again, no fan is really going to turn around and say that you're right as a player. They're not going to do it. And they don't have to.
Yeah. I think just quickly going through all those things, I don't know that we should fire Dan McCartney. I think that in the same
Blasphemy.
Way, yeah, in the same way that like I think if you kind of he's had to deal with some of the stupid things that happened here at North Texas, and I don't think you fired the coach before you do something about the athletic director, because again, Rick yes. Villarreal has presided over two of the worst you know periods in basketball, and like especially women's basketball. And you know, football, the name thing, like we became a laughing stock because of his hire, and we wasted all the momentum of the 2001 to 2005 years. We'll call it that. All of that, we were, you know, everybody's like, hey, North Texas goes to bowl games. They go to the New Orleans Bowl. They go there all the time. I remember when I was, like in, you know, high school, hearing things about North Texas, you know, then they became awful. The worst team in the nation, basically. The worst program in the nation. We will go to a bowl game. Great, great hire. Maybe saved his bacon. But again, like I said, it's been 2 years. We're getting to coming up on 2 years since we went to a bowl game. You can't keep talking about that, you know, in the same way. You can't say, hey, everything's going great because we went to a bowl game that one time. I totally understand about cycles. I totally get that we're not as good as we were that year because we had the right mix of players, the right amount of talent, the right amount of experience. But, you know, like I said, I think it's the athletic director. We can't be playing 5 home games a season. We need some home and home things. You got to make it easier on these coaches. You can't have 12 straight weeks of games, you know. You need a bye week somewhere in there. Make it – put our coaches in positions to succeed – so that way our coaches can put our players in positions to succeed. So I think we can't rely on the athletic director to make another hire. Yeah, he's already made 2 hires, you know, and 2 guys with losing records basically now. We're going to trust him for another one, another one. He's going to get that one right this time. 3rd time's a charm. Is that what we're thinking? And then finally, I'd like to see DeMarcus Smith. I'd like to see the future already because – I mean, why not? Yeah, I mean, what do we – one, I think he's probably the most talented player. And 2, the season and the excitement are kind of slipping away. So I can watch a losing North Texas football program. I'm going to watch it anyway. But I can watch it and still – and with some excitement about the future. I can say, well, look at this guy's getting better. And that was my big complaint. And this is maybe where you have a point about firing Danny Mac. It's because I felt the same way about Dejon Williams. If he's turning the ball over, you can say, well, he's a freshman. He's going to learn from that, right? Or he's a redshirt freshman. He's a young guy. He's going to pick it up, get him more reps with the first team. And then, you know, 2nd, 3rd, 4th years, he should clean that kind of stuff up. He has experience playing on the field. He knows what's going on. And so, you know, 2, 3 years from now, he will be awesome, you know. He won't be making those freshman mistakes. But we yanked him. We're like, you can't make any mistakes out here. And then we put in a senior guy, and they make similar mistakes. But we say that's okay. I don't really like that. And then finally, the fan thing. Yeah, you said it best. I totally understand the player, lots of different players said the same thing. I mean, nobody, I mean, the fans that are, you know, doing ad hominem attacks, like, you suck, you're, those guys, no, don't listen to those guys. That's not constructive criticism. I think this way, it's ever, if you're going to truly criticize, I mean, you're going to truly go out there and say some stuff and pretend to be an expert. At least try to be, learn some stuff about some football, you know. Know why the guy made a mistake. Like, what happened there? Was it really a bad pass? Was it really a bad route? Was it really a bad play call? You know, like, figure it out. Do at least that much. You know, don't just, well, they suck. I mean, well, why do they suck? Why exactly? But at the same time, yeah, I mean, this is the entertainment business. Like, nobody's going out there, you know, for any other reason. This is all entertainment. Let's not pretend like it's anything else. And it's not entertaining. There's a lot of things out in this world to do with your time. You play with your kids. You can go play some PS4, right? You can play some Xbox. You know, watch some movies, Netflix, Hulu. There's lots of things to do on a Saturday. You can watch teams that are better, more entertaining. A lot of people choose to continue with North Texas football, and that's supporting the program. Complaining a little bit, saying this could be better. That's not bashing the program. That's trying to make it better, right? But we all know this. I think everybody's just upset because we're 0-3. 0-3, staring 0-4 in the face. I feel like we're gonna. We've been in worse situations.
Yeah, Portland State. Did they win yesterday?
I don't even want to check. I can't believe I'm looking at Portland State and even kind of trembling a little bit, like, oh god, Portland State's gonna beat us.
They were ranked, you know, 17th or 18th in the FCS coaches poll.
Yeah. Just quickly, the Conference USA. Give me like two words on each of these games. Colorado State 33, UTSA 31.
Well, I want to tell you before I do that.
What?
Portland State beat Western Oregon yesterday 31-0.
Oh, God.
I watched some of the Colorado State UTSA game. UTSA, the difference in the game was really the safety at the beginning of the game. Jarvion Williams, he was averaging like, what, 14 yards a carry in that game. So he looked good. UTSA looked good. Colorado State was struggling. UTSA probably should have won that game.
UTSA had a comeback, right? They were down 30-17. Okay, Southern. We talked about Southern Miss and Nebraska. We'll skip that one. Louisiana Tech 27, FIU 17.
Louisiana Tech, they were at home. They protected their home field. Florida International played well, but they didn't have enough to, you know, beat Louisiana Tech. But again, it showed you. Louisiana Tech's obviously the class of the West, but Florida International with Magoo at quarterback over there, you know, he had a nice game, two touchdowns, no interceptions. I thought Louisiana Tech's defense played really well. To only give up 45 yards rushing to FIU, a team that likes to run the ball, that's pretty big.
Baylor 70, Rice 17.
Baylor, I mean, what can you say? They're averaging like 700 yards of offense.
Yeah.
Jackson, again, everybody called him a great quarterback. Baylor's defense really isn't that good, and they shut down Rice's offense. Rice only had 94 yards rushing and 152 passing, so that was interesting to me. So Rice struggled there, and maybe they're not as good as people think they are.
Yeah. Or they beat, you know, they showed out against some not good defenses, like, say, Texas and, like, say, North Texas.
Yeah.
App State had 49. Old Dominion at home, 0.
What the hell, Old Dominion? Jesus, yeah. That's just bad. That's bad. Like, that's really bad.
Is Appalachian State, are they in the Sun Belt Conference now? Are they officially?
Yes.
Did they make that leap already?
Yeah.
Okay. But it's not as bad as, I guess, if it was, like, a couple years ago. That was awful. Old Dominion, Old Dominion and Appalachian State are kind of on the same tier, but Old Dominion's been in Conference USA for, what, is it 2 years now? 3 years?
Yeah.
So they should be doing better than getting blanked at home. Miami of Ohio, 14, Western Kentucky, 56.
Western Kentucky, their offense, still good. Miami of Ohio, not a good team at all. You know, Western Kentucky was basically up. They were up.
Like 49-7 at halftime or something like that.
Yeah, 49-7 at halftime. So, I mean, they probably played their backups the second half. So, I mean, Western Kentucky, again, their offense is the story. And they're still good.
In double overtime, Marshall 36, Kent State 29.
It's kind of mad that Birdsong isn't playing anymore for Marshall, but I don't really know how good Kent State is, but Marshall's had some struggles with some teams. Ohio, though, I think Ohio, they beat somebody good yesterday, or they were playing with somebody. I can't pick it up off the top of my head. I just remember seeing their score and saying, wow, you know, I know Marshall lost to Ohio, and I was like, you know, Marshall was favored in that game, but maybe Ohio is better than we think. So, for Marshall, kind of surprised that Johnson, the running back, only had 9 yards rushing in that game. Maybe he got hurt or something happened there. But still, Marshall is good, but I don't think they're as good as they were last year and previous years. Yeah. I think they're still struggling at quarterback.
I think they could still handle us pretty easily, though. Middle Tennessee, 25. Illinois Fighting Illini, 27.
The coach's son, Stockstill, at quarterback, he's been tearing it up. He had 330 yards against Illini, 3 touchdowns. So, playing Middle Tennessee, when we go there, that is not looking like a fun game for us.
It's not.
He's a freshman quarterback, too. He's got 12 touchdowns and only 2 interceptions on the year.
Did Illinois, they scored to win the game, like late in the game, right? A field goal? Something like that.
Middle Tennessee, they had a good, strong fourth quarter. They had like 13 points that they ran off, and I think Iowa kicked a field goal with 2 minutes to go in the game, 51-yarder that gave them the win.
Jeez. Florida Atlantic 17, Charlotte 7. Charlotte's a brand new squad in here. Florida Atlantic, they give you a game. They have a good defense, but they pretty much control this game. But your thoughts?
My thoughts are there was 12 turnovers in this game. There was 12 turnovers. Florida Atlantic had 5 and Charlotte had 7. They threw 6 interceptions. I mean, if you think our quarterback play is bad, you know, go to Charlotte. I mean, what are their fans saying?
It was the first night game ever at Charlotte.
The backup quarterback, Matt Johnson, comes in, throws 3 passes, 0-for-3, and 2 of them are intercepted.
Well, I mean, it's kind of like Josh Greer stepped out, threw 6 passes, 1 was picked, all the way and returned all the way for a touchdown.
Yeah, that game was just – that's awful. That's just that all bad.
That was a bad football game.
Although
was,
I do think Charlotte had some pretty nice uniforms.
Yeah, well, they kind of look like ours when we go all black. There's too many teams in green in this conference. You know, I think that should be the rule. It's like really you only have one team with a primary color like that. I mean, UTSA and UTEP look the same. I mean, they're both, you know, kid brother schools of UT. So they have to do that color scheme. But, I mean, we had Tulane in the conference a couple years ago. They were green also. Too much green.
You have all the blue teams. You have Middle Tennessee, UTEP, UTSA, FIU, FAU.
Yeah. The, quick soccer talk. Marshall and the Mean Green soccer team played on Friday to a double overtime draw. And Marshall wears the is it like Celtic green hoops, you know, stripe, the same thing that we wear, which is pretty bad. Incarnate Word 17, they're a new squad, and UTEP 27.
UTEP had Ryan Metz playing quarterback. Looks like they've gone to their third string guy. He had 275 and 2 touchdowns, but again, struggling with Incarnate Word. That's kind of a bad omen there for UTEP, but still, they have 2 wins on the year, and North Texas has none.
Has 0 wins. Well, I mean, Who did UTEP? Hey,
but, you know, Ahmad Brooks said on the broadcast yesterday that North Texas has the toughest, you know,
Conference USA. We do have the toughest schedule. Again, man.
And I'm sure that he was fed that line by Dan McCartney.
Probably. Yeah, UTEP's next game is against Texas. Texas San Antonio. I'm reading this thing right here. UTSA. Is it against UTSA? Is this schedule wrong? I don't like CBS Sports, man.
Maybe they have a bye week.
Yeah, maybe. I was looking
at that. No, they play UTSA next week.
Yeah, okay. I think that's UTSA's best chance for a win. And, you know, like I said, our second rival, first rival is SMU. We lost that one. Our next one that fans will get up in a tizzy about. I mean, they'll get mad if we lose against Portland State, but the team that we play every season, UTSA, if we lose that one, I think everybody will be really upset. And I'm just looking at UTSA coming in. This might be their only win, just like ours might be against Portland State.
Yeah. But, I mean, after that, they get to play ODU, so, and they get to play at Charlotte.
Yeah. What are you talking about, UTEP or UTSA?
UTSA. After our game.
Yeah, after our game. But, yeah, so going into our game, we might be both 1-6.
So they could go on a 3-game winning streak.
Oh, God. Anyway, that's it for the recap show. Thanks for listening. I see that we had a few listeners. I want to thank you guys for waking up, listening to us talk some North Texas football. If you want to get in on the action, I tweeted out that phone number. Call that number. Leave a message. We'll play your soundbite on here. You don't have to leave your name. We don't keep track of your phone number. We're not going to call you. We're not going to spam you, nothing like that. You can email us if that's easier. You fire off an email, Hot Sports Opinion. We still have a forum if you want to use that, but I don't think – I always forget that's there. But that's there. It's an option. You can do all that. Or you just tweet at us, Mean Green Nation on Twitter. Greg is MGN_breakdown. Can't wait to put this behind us and get ready to – watch them beat up on Southern Miss. Right? Right?
Yeah. For all you Cowboys fans out there today, have fun watching Brandon Weeden, the worst quarterback in the NFL.
Look, Brandon Weeden just needs to be a Cowboy like he was at Oklahoma State, and that'll, you know, turn the switch on, and he'll just go out there and toss up touchdowns.
Nah.
Jerry Jones says he has the prettiest spiral you ever did see in this world.
Okay. You keep telling yourself that, Jerry. And then when the flipper returns,
again,
you guys will be like, what the hell was that, Brandon?
We just need to turn around and hand the ball off. That's what we need.
There you go.
All right, everyone. Thanks for listening. Go Mean Green.